And today's message is called Demonstrate Love. Demonstrate Love. And I'm talking about love because it seems like when you start looking in the Bible, you start realizing a lot of the New Testament, they were talking about how important love is. Paul talks about the importance of love. In fact, let's go and take a look at what he said. This is Paul the Apostle, and this is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And here's what Paul says about love. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Wow. Paul's putting a lot of emphasis on love. He is really saying it's the most important thing. And in fact, if we go to the very last verse, verse 13, it says, and this is still Paul speaking, and now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So he is saying the greatest of these is love. He is saying that love is more important than prophecy. Now, he was mentioning gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit being that you can heal, you can speak prophecies, you can speak in foreign tongues. You know, you can speak all these things. This is the gifts that of the Spirit. When we receive the Spirit of God, we now have power. Back in Paul's time, there were some people that they saw Paul and the other people that were following Jesus saw them working these powers, that they could just touch somebody, pray over them, and they'd be healed. And they thought, wow, hey, that's a good thing to have. So some of the people, they started following Paul because they wanted to get this power. I mean, this would be a great show. You know, it's better than a magician show that you can heal somebody or move a mountain. Hey, that might be really financially beneficial. You know, that you just buy some land, it's a big mountain on it, you say, you move it by faith, and now you can build a bunch of houses. Yeah, woo! But, see, Paul is pointing out that all of those great gifts of the Spirit, which bring so much power, and they look impressive, and they're amazing, but the most important one of those is love. Love is the number one most important benefit that we receive from God. And when we know that, we start to understand that the Spirit of God does dwell inside of us. The minute we receive Jesus, we receive that Spirit. Now the Spirit dwells inside, meaning the Spirit of God, God is within us. And as we start to understand, it's not just these gifts of the Spirit that come, and we want to know that we have the gifts of the Spirit. We have this power to heal people. By speaking words of faith, we can change situations. We can move mountains. Whatever that may be, that mountain might be the stack of bills you've got. It can be moved by faith, by those words of faith that you speak. But Paul is saying that greater than those is love. And we have to understand that this is what God wanted to bring to us. He wanted to bring us His love. He wanted to bring us this love into our life because that's what really changes us. It's the love that changes us, and it's the love that changes the world. We got to demonstrate love, though. A lot of times, some people are not so quick to speak about love, but some are. Some will say, I love you, but you never see the actions. So we got to put into actions. We got to demonstrate love. This is very important. It's important for us, you know, if you're in a marriage, you know, you might be, you know, thinking, well, my wife knows I love me. You might be thinking, well, I tell her that I love her. But you got to show it too. It helps in a relationship, whether you're just friends or you're in a marriage. Put your arm around somebody, show them you care, give them a hug, give them a kiss. You know, demonstrate it in some way. Bring them home a few flowers, maybe. Maybe that's what's going to demonstrate it. It doesn't have to be big things, but you got to remember to demonstrate the love of God because love is not just a word. In fact, love in a word means nothing. It's the action that really is speaking louder than the words. And it's the action of demonstrating that. We've got to put it into action in our life. And as Paul is saying here, it's the most important thing. If you start to think about the Spirit of God, God is love. And so His Spirit is love. That means we have the Spirit of love on the inside. We now want the Spirit of love on the inside to begin to flow through us or flow out of us into our lives and into the world. And if we can start to open our hearts, and this is the key, we've got to choose, because we have a choice. You know, we've chose to receive Jesus, we chose to receive the Spirit, but now we also have to choose to open our hearts and let that love come out. If our heart's not open, now the love isn't flowing. And that's where our choice comes in. And we got to choose every day to let the love flow out of your heart. And then in action, be moved to act on that love that is flowing out of your heart towards somebody. You know, it's amazing what love can do, but it takes courage. You know, it's not hard to speak about anger and speak about faith and speak about fear, and to speak about, you know, all these things. It's easy because a crowd will get behind you. It's like you're in a band. You start to sing about the hatred you have. Pretty soon there's backup singers behind you. Oh, yeah, we hate. Woo! You know, all these people start gathering behind you. They gather around you when you begin to speak about faith. Pretty soon you got a whole group of people hating. And they begin to hate another group of people who are also hating. And this hate just seems to build on these groups. Same with fear. The minute you start to demonstrate fear, oh, right away there's other people that are fearing too. Oh, don't go near there. Yeah, don't go near there. You know, like backup singers with you. And so it's easy for those. But when you step out there in love and you begin to act in love, quite often you're a solo act. You know, you say something and you don't see the people gathering around so quickly at first. It takes a little courage to act in love. It takes courage and the strength to step out there and believe that the love of God is going to conquer and change this situation. Because when everybody's hating and you're the one standing there in love and acting in love, at first it's just a solo act. But then the power of God will begin to work and change people's lives. And they can change people. Something. Let's go take a look here at something else that Paul was saying. And this is, he was talking about what love does. This is the way I kind of phrased it. And this is that from verse 4. Still in 1 Corinthians 13, he talks all about love. He says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love is the most powerful force in the universe. And the God kind of love, which is the kind of love I'm talking about, the God kind of love, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, and now the Spirit, remember, God is love, His Spirit is love, so you are filled with the God kind of love. When that begins to move out of you, when you open your heart, it never fails. That means if you have the courage to act in love, it will change people, it will change situations, it will change circumstances, it will change lives. But you've got to have the courage to do it and to step out into it every day. Have that courage to step out there and do it. It's easy to jump in amongst the crowd that's all singing the same tune and playing the same game, but to step out there in love and believe that it never fails. And if it's in the Word of God, I believe it. I know if Paul is putting such emphasis on love, and Jesus was also putting great amounts of emphasis on love too. He always was talking about it. He was saying how we have to love God and love our neighbors. That's how he summed up all the commandments. Love God, love your neighbor. So what do you need to do? You need to know how to love. That's all you've got to do is just love. If you can love, you fulfilled everything else in the entire Bible if you know how to love. Imagine that. You filled all that other stuff. Don't get all caught up in the minutiae and the details of all that other stuff. God is just saying, love, love. And that's why, you know, it says in John 3:16 that he sent his only begotten. Let's take a look at it here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So for God so loved the world, that means the whole reason that God came down to the earth as Jesus is because he loved us. He wanted to be closer to us. And he wanted to fill us with that love. He wanted to give us that love. Say amen to this.
Amen.
This is a good thing. So God loves us, and that's why he created us. He created us to love us. Now, when I was growing up, I grew up in this church that was a hellfire and brimstone church, and I heard about this God that was angry. I heard about this God that was a punisher. I heard about this God that had wrath. I don't even know what wrath is. It sounds scary, though. Wrath in the rafters? Rafters? But there he is, a God of wrath and punishment and anger. And man, I was so scared that by the time I was a young adult, I started not to believe in God. Because I said, if that's God, I don't want anything to do with it. And I ran as fast as I could. Anybody that mentioned God, talked about God, or tried to get close to me, I just kept right on running. I was like Forrest Gump. Just kept running. You know, and that was because that, if that was God, I couldn't believe it. But then one day I encountered God, an actual encounter with him, and I felt his spirit, and his spirit filled me. And you know, he began to tell me about himself, and you know, he told me something completely different. He started telling me about his love. He started telling me how much he cared about me. He started telling me how he had a dream for my life. He wanted me to do great things in my life, and how he was filling me with love. And that's all I felt was God's love. And then I knew that somebody was lying to me. They were not telling me the truth about God, because I did not feel any punishment in him. I did not feel any anger in him. I did not feel any wrath in him. And I knew that that wasn't God who they were talking about, because God was a God of love. And now that I had encountered him firsthand and had a personal relationship with him, I knew the truth. I knew who he really was. And I knew that what these guys are saying about God is the truth. That he is love. And that love never fails.
Amen.
When you got the God kind of love, it never fails. Now you can have sometimes your own personal agenda kind of love. But that doesn't go very far. You know, but if you got the God kind of love, it changes lives. It heals people. It will heal you. It will change you. It will transform your life. It will transform your body. It will transform your mind. Say amen to this. Because it's working. It's working all the time. God so loved the world that he sent his son so that we could be loved. See, we got so far away, so far believing. We were so distant from God, we started thinking he was a punisher. We got so far away from him that now what's white looks black. Night looks like day. And we got it all backwards. Everything is upside down, inside out, and we couldn't even tell the truth. So what God had to do was he had to come down and get closer to us. He had to bring the love to us because we had got so far from it. And then once we invite Jesus into our heart, his spirit fills us, and now we know there's nobody between us, nobody telling us who God is. We now have a personal relationship with him. And now we also can feel his love flowing through us. And working in us. Now we know, hey, this is totally different. See, we got so far away that God had to come down to us and bring the love to us. And now that it's inside of us, nobody can separate us from that. We are filled with it totally and completely. Nobody can ever take it away. It's always there. Now let's take a look here. I want to talk a little bit about what John, this is John the disciple. John the disciple. Now, John the disciple seems to know something about love. He always says in his Gospels, he says, the one that Jesus loved. You know, so he's referring to himself. It almost sounds kind of arrogant, but I don't think so. I think he just knew the truth. He knew the most important thing was that God loves us. And the whole reason that Jesus came was so that we could receive that love and have that love. And remember, I was talking about demonstrating the power of love. Last week, I was talking about demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, I was talking about the gifts of the Spirit, how we can heal, how we can cast out spirits, how we have this power inside of us to receive the understanding of God and the plan of God. And I was talking about demonstrating that. Well, the real power of this Holy Spirit is not only those gifts, as I said, it's demonstrating the power of love, that God kind of love, when we demonstrate that now. And we got to know that because God so loved the world, he sent his only son, now we start to understand that Jesus is love. So remember, we talked a few weeks ago about Jesus being the unifying force, and Jesus is love. That means love is the unifying force. Because if it's the God kind of love, that's what you've got inside of you, the unifying force. That means whatever's coming out of you, flowing out of you, is unifying. It's unifying you and your body. It's unifying you with God, making you one. It's unifying you with other people. As long as you have the God kind of love coming out of your heart, flowing out of you, and when you got the Spirit of God inside, he is love. So it's coming out, and it's going to be unifying everything, lining it all up for you. Anything that's not of love is cast out. Let's talk about this John the Baptist and what he said here. Not John the Baptist, excuse me. John the disciple. Don't get them mixed up. There's two guys there. Now, this is in 1 John chapter 4, and we're looking at verse 7. Here's what John says about love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. There's John talking about love. And he said a lot of things we already were talking about here. He says that's why God sent his Son down on the earth, so that he could love us, so he could be close to us. And if he loves us that much and is pouring out his love upon us in such a great way, we should love one another. He's saying we need to open our hearts and let the God kind of love flow to other people. It transforms and changes other people. You know, you want to reach people, open your heart and let the love come out. You know, something that people don't understand sometimes, they sometimes get filled with other emotions. They sometimes get filled with fear and begin to project that onto people. Or they get filled with hate and they begin to share that with people. And we got to know not to do that. And actually, Paul even talks about that. If we skip down a few verses, here he says in verse 17, this is John, excuse me. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. So the way God is in the world, so are we. The way Jesus is in the world, so are we. That means we are righteous, we are blessed, we are filled with love. We can overcome all things, right? Was Jesus sick in the world? No, Jesus was healthy. That means as he was, so am I. I'm healthy in the world, okay? So however he was, we are in the world. And he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If you're filled with fear, what is the antidote to fear? Some people think the antidote to fear is I get a psychiatrist and I go down there and I, for 20 years, talk to him and, you know, tell him about all my problems. But here it's saying, what God is saying is that through John, he is saying the antidote to fear is the God kind of love. He's saying, you want to get rid of fear? You let the love of God come in. The love of God come in, and all that fear will now flee from you. Remember a few weeks ago, I talked about the forces, the rulers of darkness? Remember how Paul was saying, I do the things I don't want to do, and the things I do want to do, I don't do. And then he realized, the reason I'm doing the things I don't want to do is because there's somebody else. There's these rulers of darkness that are making me do things I don't want to do. Remember that? So we're talking about external forces that play on our minds, and they play on our hearts, and they keep pushing us and making us to do things we don't want to do. And the stuff we do want to do, we don't do it. Okay? And so this is another way, if we think about it, if we start to let the God kind of love come in, now the rulers of darkness do not have power over you. They don't have any strength over you, because now the God kind of love begins to flow out of us and chases them away. Remember, that's what brings the fear upon us. That's what brings the fear upon us, is the darkness. It tries to bring the fear upon us. But when the light comes in, which the light of God is Jesus, when it comes into us, now that darkness flees from us. Now that fear flees from us. So what's the antidote to fear? Love. The God kind of love. When we let that come into our life, fear has no place. And we are perfected in that. We are perfected into the God kind of love. It does take action, though. It takes us to be acting on it. Not just saying I love somebody, but actually acting on that love. A little bit further down here. Again, John speaking. This is still 1 John chapter 4. Verse 20 now. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. He who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. This is a very good point that John is making. If we can't love somebody we've seen, how can we possibly love God who we haven't seen? You know, we need to know that if we have the God kind of love inside of us, we also have the ability to love other people. This thing about hate was really important. I see a lot of people in the world, they let their hate run wild, and they start to hate somebody or hate some group or hate something. And when you do that, you don't understand how the laws of creation work. Quite often people say, well, God is punishing me. You know, but we got to think about the laws of creation. The laws of creation have certain consequences as a result of it. It's the same as the law of gravity. Have you heard about gravity? Maybe some of you know about gravity. You know, but here it's one of those laws of physics. And some people, they jump off a building, they fall, they hit the ground, they break their leg, and then they say, God has something against me. No. The law of gravity was there before you were ever born. It was already in effect. So if you stepped off that building and you fell and you broke your leg, it's not God. It's the law of gravity working as it's supposed to work. The laws of creation work the same way. And God is trying to help us to fit in so that we work in alignment with the laws of creation rather than against them and then blame God. For example, he said not to hate. He says he wants us to love our enemies. It says love our brothers here, but Jesus also said he wants us to love our enemies. Boy, that's a hard thing to do sometimes, to love our enemies. But if we start to understand how the laws of creation work, now we understand why he was saying that and why it's so important. Because if we start hating on a group of people or hating on a certain person, that hate goes out. The problem is any hate that we send out ends up back on our doorstep, meaning it ends up back in our house. So whatever we're sending out, we're getting back. So if I'm sending out hate, then there's more hate going to happen. If I'm saying, oh, gee, that other side has to die, 1,000 people have to die, I'm just sent out what's going to come back to me. 1,000 people are going to die on my side now. And you understand that in the law of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now, many people think of that law as, yeah, somebody takes my eye, I'm going to take their eye. Somebody takes my tooth, I'm going to take their tooth. But God says, revenge is mine. And what he's talking about is, he's talking about the law of creation. The way of law of creation works is, if you take somebody's eye out, the law of creation takes your eye out. Now, was it God? No. It's the same as the law of gravity. Did not break your leg, but you acted in alignment with this law of creation. If you send it out, it's going to come back. So if you take out somebody else's tooth, it's going to come back, and somebody in your house is going to get their tooth knocked out. So you don't want to be sending out this kind of vibe. You don't want to be sending out hate. That's why Jesus said, love your enemies. This is why they're saying, love your brothers. Because if we understand the law of creation, if you're sending out love, you're getting back love. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And so we got to bridle and harness. And when you get into a place, and there's times where I get upset with people, I get upset with certain things that people are saying, and I'll start to kind of grumble about it and think, I'm going to do something about this. So what am I going to do about this? But you got to stop yourself, because if that's what you send out, that's what you get back. That's how the law of creation works. He says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Now, we often think, oh, it's me, I'm going to take out that. No, it's not. That's the way the law works. It's the same as the law of gravity. If you jump off a building, you're going to hit the ground. It's inevitable. You know, that's what's going to happen. And so we got to understand that. And now we start to really realize what the importance of love is. Why is the God kind of love so important? Because if we're sending out love, we're getting back love. If we're sending out blessing, if we're going out and we're blessing people of the world, we're getting back blessing.
Amen.
And I know sometimes there's people, they irritate us, they infuriate us, they make us so upset. And man, we want to do the worst to them. We want to say the worst. We want to be the worst. And yet we've got to remember how the law of creation works, how the system of God is working. And this is why, you know, if John the disciple and Paul the apostle and Jesus are all saying that love is the most important thing, and we understand it in the infrastructure of the system of God, of this law of creation and how it works, if we start to understand that, now we know why the three of them said this was so important. And if they're saying it's important, I'm saying it's important. Amen?
Amen.
Say, I'm saying this is important.
I'm saying it's important.
So love is important in your life. And you've got to realize that's what I've got to be demonstrating. I've got to go out there and I've got to demonstrate love in a great and powerful way. Now, I remember one time my parents came to visit me. This was many years ago now. It's actually probably 15 years at least, maybe even longer than that. And when they came, I was determined, I'm going to demonstrate the God kind of love. You know, the hardest people to love have got to be your parents or your kids sometimes, you know, because sometimes they're acting in ways that are completely opposite and different than you. And they don't seem to be receptive to what you're saying. And they don't seem to understand you. And you seem so distant and far apart. But remember what I said about God. We got so far away from him, we started thinking he was a God of punishment and vengeance. And it's because there was a distance between us. What closes that distance? Love. Love closes that distance. So when my parents came, I just opened my heart. And I didn't set an agenda. I didn't have an intention saying, this has got to happen, or they've got to say this or do this. I wasn't putting any restrictions on them. I didn't care how they responded. All I knew was I was going to have the courage to let my love shine out, that God kind of love shine through to them. And I opened my heart, and I just remember when they came, I was more loving. I would hug them more. I would tell them I loved them. I don't think I ever told them I loved them before that. You know, just they know it. They're my parents. You know, and now I started telling them. Every day I was telling my mother and my father how I love you. Oh, I love you guys. And I'd give them these hugs. And the first few days, you know, they were kind of stiff and rigid, like, like I'm doing something to them that's killing them. But then after a couple of days, they started, you know, kind of warming up. And suddenly I started kind of feeling the little butterfly hug, you know, still uncomfortable, but they're still doing it. And then I continued doing it. And pretty soon the hugs became very warm. And there was change happening in a few days here, because they were only here 10 days, I think it was. But it was changing. And then I said, hey, I got an idea. Why don't you tell each other that you love each other? Now, that was pretty big, because I had never heard my mother say to my father, I love you. In all the years that I'd lived at home with them, I never heard that. And I would hear my father say it from time to time, but, you know, I'd kind of just hear a grunt out of my mother, you know. So I was like, what happens if you say to Dad that you love him? Well, the first thing my father did was, I don't need to hear that. I know she loves me. Yeah, she was saying, yeah, he knows I love him. I don't have to say that. But then, you know, I said, well, you know, give it a try. Just see what happens. And it was interesting. So she was like, all right, you know, I love you, you big lug. And she like punches him in the shoulder like two guys would say. It's like, okay, that's pretty good. Say it again. This time, give him a nice hug. And she was like, okay. So she said it, and they hugged each other. It was, man, it was like this wall or something fell down. It was like this spell was broken, where suddenly their hearts just kind of melted. And I remember the three of us hugging as a family at that point, and our tears were just running down our eyes, and our hearts were open. And I know it was the God kind of love that did it, because I know I couldn't have convinced them with my words. I know that I couldn't have changed them, you know, if I had done anything else. But I had planted that God kind of love in our midst as I shared it and kept, you know, sharing it. And the more that we shared over that time that we had together, the more relaxed and soft and loving they became, and the more open they were, and they were receptive. And it really changed me, because now I was acting in a whole different way with my parents, and my parents were acting in a whole different way with me. And I know it was the God kind of love. Love never fails, Paul said. Love never fails. It's got power that can break through anything. But we've got to have the courage to act on it, to demonstrate it. Go out there and demonstrate the God kind of love this week, and you will see people healed. Say amen to this.
Amen.
You will see people transformed. Say amen to this. You will see your life change. Say amen to that.
Amen.
You'll be lifted up in your spirit. You'll be lifted up in your heart. You'll be changed in a whole new way. I remember after that week how I walked differently, and I felt differently about myself, and I felt differently about the world. I was whistling as I went, and I understood that power of love could change all things. The God kind of love can change all things. It doesn't matter what it is. We don't want to slip into the fear, because love is to come in and cleanse that fear out. Let the God kind of love cleanse the fear out. We don't want to slip into the hate, because when we're hating on somebody, we can't be loving and hating. the two do not coexist, and they cannot coexist inside of us. That means you might be saying, on the one hand, I'm loving my wife, but I hate that group over there. No, you can't. You've got to have the love that's flowing all the time. Your heart cannot be opened and closed at the same time, right? So, and our hearts are closed when we're hating, but our hearts have to be open when we're sharing the love of God. You know, a great vision that was seen in one of our workshops a few months ago, a man saw his heart open, and he saw like a fire. And fire in the spiritual represents the love of God. It is that love of God flowing from him. And so that fire was going up into his head, meaning the love of God was filling his head. So his thoughts were going to be of love. His actions as a result of that would be of love. And so that's what we got to do. Open our hearts. Let the fire of love, the fire that doesn't consume. Moses saw it as the burning bush. He saw that fire and that bush, but the bush wasn't being consumed because it's love. It's not a fire that consumes. It's a fire that actually creates. It's a fire that transforms. It's a fire that wakes us up and makes us alive in so many ways. And this is what God came down to give us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. His son is that love. When we receive that love, now we're filled with the Spirit. We're filled with the Spirit of love. We have that fire that does not consume. Now we open our hearts and let ourselves demonstrate that. Demonstrate that in only love. Everything else will pass away, will change, will be transformed. Let's go back to what Paul was saying here. He said something very interesting. This is back with Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, and here we are at verse 4. He says, love... No, that's not the right... Oh, here it is. Okay, sorry, verse... what am I at? 9. Oh, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Knowledge will vanish away, he says. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. So he's saying that prophecies will fail. Knowledge will fade away. You know, all that stuff we think is power only lasts for a little while, but love never dies. The God kind of love is eternal. It is continually working and moving and changing. It never gets less. We can sometimes try to hide it by closing our hearts, but the power of it hasn't changed. It's just us that has tried to resist it. But if you open your hearts and you let the God kind of love flow out, it will never fail. It will never fade away. It's greater than any knowledge. It's greater than any prophecy. It's greater than any healing, because that love is really the source of all those things. And that love will grow through you and change you and transform you in all ways. Say amen to that. Amen. Close your eyes. Let's pray.